Kay Cunningham becomes the first Piston since Allen Iverson.
Oh, God, that doesn't even sound right saying.
First Piston since Allen Iverson to be on the cover of Slam Magazine. Just how cool is this? We'll talk about that in today's episode of Locked On Pistons Podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons Podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to our YouTube channel, at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. We have gained a lot of subscribers over the past week or so. We've done a great job at the channel, great job at the podcast. Had a lot of good content, a lot of fun guests on. We'll talk about everything we talked about from this past week. It's been a big week. So in the last segment, we'll talk about everything that we covered over this past week. We'll give a little bit of a recap. But first, we obviously have to talk about Kay Cunningham being on the cover of Slam Magazine. So before we even start talking about what was said inside this little interview with Cade and the little article that came with it, before we even talk about that, I need you guys to tell me right now in the comment section down below or over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill, Which one of these photos did you think was, like, Cade's best? Like, which one do you think was, like, the most cool one? So, like, the cover itself, I think, is super dope. The cover itself is dope. And I actually got flack. I actually had to delete this tweet because a lot of stuff was popping off because of it. But I actually said something about his beard when we saw him at Boston. I was like, I don't know how I'm feeling about the beard. The beard looks a lot better on the Slam Magazine cover. I'm not going to lie. It looks a little bit better. But I think the cover looks super cool. I like the one when he's wearing the tank top with the backwards hat. That one's nice. But I think the best one, I think everyone would agree, it's between two of them. Both of them is with this jacket on. I don't know what this jacket or this coat, wherever this is. He got some nice little necklace on. I don't know what kind of coat this is. That coat is fire. I can't hold him. It's absolutely fire. I think I'll go with the one with him standing up and yanking the chain a little bit. I think that one was the best one taken in this magazine. But you guys got to let me know which one you guys think was the best one. Because he had some nice photo shoots in here. It was pretty cool photos in here. But man, how cool is it to have a Detroit Piston on the cover of Slam Magazine? Like, just how cool is it? Like, we haven't had that since Allen Iverson was on it in 2000. What was it, 2008 or 2009? Obviously, Allen Iverson's time here did not go very well. But man, that's 13 years. It's really cool, man. It's really cool because that's big time, dude. Everyone's gonna see that, and I like the message of Detroit First Everybody that was really echoing throughout the article, throughout the magazine with Cade. I think it's super dope. By the way, I think these jerseys. I saw someone say it on Twitter. I'm gonna echo it a little bit further. These red jerseys. You guys remember last year when they first came out with them? I told you guys that I liked them because I simply just wanted red. I really just wanted red jerseys. And you guys know I've been talking about red jerseys even before then. I was begging to get some red jerseys. But after seeing it for a full season, seeing it on the Slam Magazine cover, I think these are in competition for, like, the best Piston jerseys ever. I love these jerseys. I think these jerseys are so dope. I love these jerseys. In the background, you guys will see I have it hung up in a frame. Kay Cunningham's jersey hung up in a frame, the new red jerseys. So I'm really messing with the jerseys. I think they look super dope. They obviously look even cooler on Slam Magazine. I'm glad these were the jerseys that got to be shown off on Slam Magazine and not the nasty damn, what was it, the gray jersey or the purple jersey, whatever color you want. Those ones are with the sleeves and stuff like, my, oh God, oof. But I'm just happy that the red ones were on there. But yeah, I just think it was super cool, man. There's a lot of good photo shoots in here. Some of the things they talked about in here, I don't know if you guys have read it or not. You guys definitely should go read this. But it was really cool to, like, see Cade talk about Detroit this way nationally. You can tell that his team and his family, they're fully embracing Detroit as their home, as the city that they're going to, you know, embrace and represent. You saw him talk about some Detroit movies that he had seen. Like, the whole thing was just super dope, man. It's just, like, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see I have a smirk on my face. Like, just reading it, going through it, man, it's I don't know any other word than just call it. It's just really cool to have this kind of representation on Slam Magazine, and a great, I don't think there could have been any other person that would have been like better suited to represent Detroit than Kay Cunningham. We said that when, you know, when they drafted him last year. But man, just the way he answered some of these questions, I thought it was really funny too when they asked him, hey, did you hear the noise around like when you struggle around Rookie of the Year or, you know, people talking down on you or whatever. You know, a lot of players would have gave the, you know, I don't really pay attention to it, blah, blah. But he gave a funny answer. I thought it was really funny. He said, anyone who says they don't hear it, that's cap. And I thought that was just really funny because no one really says, you know, I thought it was just funny to hear someone say that's cap on the Slam Magazine article. But there's little tiny things like that, man. You guys really go check it out. I think it's just, again, super dope that the Pistons have someone covering Slam Magazine and everything that was said within here, talking about how he represents the city, how, you know, he really, they ended the article or the magazine just with like a great quote from him that he says, quote unquote, within, I think it's me versus everybody, but I got a squad behind me too. So it's us versus everybody. And I really like that too, man. This really shows us how fantastic of a leader Cade is. And that, seriously, we said this when they drafted him. I'll say it again. There really was not a better prospect, a better player for the Pistons to have represent their franchise, represent their team, and represent their city. Literally, Cade's like the most perfect one for this. And this is just a sign of things to come, man. This is just a sign of things to come. Hopefully the Pistons have more magazines that they're on the cover of in the future. Some wins, maybe holding up, you know, a trophy, a Larry O'Brien trophy or two. So hopefully that's coming soon. But again, I'll link down below in the comment section the article, the Slam Magazine link to it, so you guys can check it out if you guys haven't read it. For real, it's a great read, a fun read, really cool. And again, I love these jerseys. And my favorite one was the one with Cade with the coat. My favorite picture was Cade with the coat, yanking the chain a little bit with the glasses on. I thought that was a super dope pick. But yeah, let me know what you guys think about the Slam Magazine with Cade on the cover in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kuki Hill. When we come back, we're going to start to recap some of the things that we talked about over the past week. We had a lot of guests. We had Lockdown Kings host on the podcast. We had Lockdown Blazers host on the podcast. We had Ant Wright on the podcast. We had Mavs Draft, Richard Stamen on the podcast. We had Bryce Simon on last Friday. It was a hectic week. We provide some great content. We did really good numbers-wise also. You guys did a great job showing out for me. But we'll recap everything we talked about, starting off with Jeremy Grant and how likely it is that he is traded on draft night to one of those teams that I mentioned. But first, I have to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, your guys' favorite sponsor, Built Bar. We've been asking, and Built has delivered. Built granola bars are here. Built granola bars come in three unbelievable flavors. You guys already know which one's about to be my favorite, the chocolate peanut butter flavor, absolutely. But they also have chocolate coconut and white chocolate berry. Want to try all three flavors? You can get a mixed box right now at Built.com. There are so many different flavors and so many different type of bars at Built.com. You can see the puff bars. You can see the Built, obviously the Built granola bars are loaded with tons of granola. It's a perfect combination of crunch and chewiness. But just like bars and puffs, these babies are packed with protein and covered in 100% real chocolate. With 150 calories, 15 grams of protein, and only 4 grams of sugar, Built granola bars will change your world. Built has cracked the code to better granola. They're the perfect healthy snack to pack in your lunch and take on the road or eat as a snack. So if you've been waiting for a healthy, delicious granola bar to hit the market, this is your time. Head to Built.com right now to get the Built granola bars. 3 delicious flavors to try, chocolate peanut butter, chocolate coconut, and white chocolate berry. Don't miss out. You got to get yours today. Go to Built.com to get Built granola bars now. And go to Built.com, but this time use promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. So I want to thank you guys again for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We're free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button at Locked On Pistons. I'd really appreciate it. We collected, like, I think we got like 300 new subscribers over the past week or so. Like, we gained a lot of subscribers. We're doing a great job. You guys really showed out for me with the numbers, man, on the podcast and the YouTube channel. This might have been our best week, to be honest, I think, I'm waiting for the numbers to come back around that, but it was one of the best weeks in Lockdown Pistons history. Definitely one of the best weeks I've had since I took over Lockdown Pistons. So thank you guys for showing so much support to the podcast and the YouTube channel, man. You guys have been really showing out. So again, I really appreciate that. But let's talk about Jeremy Grant a little bit. So one of the episodes over the past week, we had Lockdown Kings host and Lockdown Blazers host, both on the podcast. And we talked about Jeremy Grant and him possibly being traded to one of their teams. And obviously, it could not even be one of those two teams that Jeremy Grant ends up getting traded to if he does get traded this offseason. But I feel like those two teams are the teams that have been picking up the most smoke or have been at least talked about the most in the Pistons community over the past few weeks or so. So I want to kind of talk about the how realistic I think it is that Jeremy Grant gets traded to one of those teams. So let's start off with the Blazers. So the Blazers literally just, like, I feel like 30 minutes before I started recording this podcast, I'm recording it at 10 o'clock on the night of the 26th. They just hired Mike Smith. If you guys don't know who Mike Smith is, he's one of those draft guys at ESPN. But you guys probably all know who he is because he is the guy who was extremely high on Kay Cunningham. I believe last year he called him the best prospect of the decade. He did an interview with Kay Cunningham. I feel like all of you guys, if you guys saw his face, you guys probably know who it is. But yeah, he is the guy that was extremely high on Kay Cunningham and called him. Actually, I think the exact quote was the most complete prospect of the last decade. So he was very high on him. Either way, Portland just hired him as their assistant GM. He's going to be helping them with drafting, scouting department, all that kind of stuff, et cetera, et cetera. So I had some of you guys tweet me and say, how is this going to will this impact Jeremy Grant and the possibility of the Trailblazers trading for him? And I feel like what you guys were trying to say, it was kind of like a shot at the Blazers because a lot of Pistons fans feel like if they were able to get number 7 for Jeremy Grant, it would be highway robbery. But now that they got a draft guy who can tell them, hey, this guy would be really good at 7. Hey, you don't want to give that up for Jeremy. That's not equal value because you can really get a good player at 7 at this, that player, this player, et cetera, et cetera. Will that impact it? In my opinion, I don't think it probably will. I don't think that he's going to have that type of leverage already. And the Blazers are in win-now mode, so I don't feel like they're really interested in taking that pick anyways. They're going to trade it somewhere. So I don't think that's really going to impact the hiring of Mike Smith. I don't think that's going to impact what happens with Jeremy Grant. So I wanted to talk about that just a little bit, get that out the way, because I know some of you guys wanted me to answer that. I don't think he's going to impact that. However, do I think it's realistic that the Pistons could get 7 for Jeremy? I think it is. I think that's the deal that is most likely to happen this offseason if Jeremy Grant does get traded. I think that's the most likely one to happen. It's because, you know, and one of you guys actually said this to me a few weeks ago, and I really liked it. I wish I had the tweet in front of me and so I could give you guys credit. But someone said to me, in any other draft, Jeremy Grant would not be worth number 7. But in this draft, Jeremy Grant's worth number 7 overall pick. I think that's a perfect way of explaining it. Like, if we're talking about a really strong draft or, you know, last year's draft or another draft, getting number 7 for Jeremy Grant probably would be higher weight robbery. Like, you'd be getting insane value for Jeremy Grant, in my opinion. In this year's draft, though, I think that's about equal value. This draft isn't very strong. After the top 3, in my opinion, and from a lot of people I've read, the talent drops off at the top 3. Then you have like a little tier where people have Jay and Ivy, and maybe, and I say maybe, some people have Shane Sharp in there. You guys know I want the Pistons to take Shane Sharp as of right now. But usually it goes top 3, drop off, Jay and Ivy, maybe Sharp, drop off to Murray, Mathurin, and a bunch of like 7 to 8 dudes that are just like, you know, jumbled up into the same tier that, you know, and we had Ant right in the podcast say this as well earlier in the week that in other drafts, some of these guys would not be going at this at like 7 and 8. Like Keegan Murray probably would be going late lottery in like a strong draft or at least mid lottery, like maybe 10, 11, 12, somewhere around there. A lot of these guys would be dropping down. You had, I believe it was Lazarus Jackson, we had just like 2 days ago on the podcast say that if this was a stronger draft, Jay and Ivy would not be going number 4. We'd be looking at him like 7 or 8. So like this draft, my point is this draft is not that strong according to what people are saying. So in a weaker draft, I think Jeremy Grant probably is equal value for 7. I think this is like the perfect storm for the Detroit Pistons because in other years, I don't think the Pistons would be getting this high of a lottery pick for Jeremy Grant. And heck, they may still not even get it. Portland may never budge. They may just say, you know what? 7 is just too much for Jeremy Grant. We're not doing that. We'll find something else to use it for. But I think this may be the perfect storm for Detroit because I think 7 is equal value for Jeremy Grant in this specific draft. I think the Pistons would love that. They seem to have 7 guys that Troy Reaver has said. He said they have 7 guys that they really like. I do not think that was a coincidence. I think he said that on purpose because Portland landed at 7 immediately before he said that. We all know that Portland has been trying to go after Jeremy Grant. We all know that they're like the number one spot to get Jeremy Grant. We know that Troy Reaver wants a lottery pick for Jeremy Grant. So if they can get 7, I think it would be really good. And I actually think, I know Portland fans don't agree with this, and I know Lockdown Blazers host came on here and he said that a lot of Blazers people, Blazers fans feel like that would be, you know, unfair, and they're more thinking like there's some insane stuff. Like if you guys watched that episode, you guys remember they were talking about like some big contracts and like a second round pick or two or something like that. Like get on somewhere. But I'm trying to be non-biased as possible, like completely objective. And you guys know during the season, I told you guys multiple times, I didn't think that Jeremy Grant was worth the Aaron Gordon package. I told you guys that. So you guys know I don't think Jeremy Grant is like worth this, you know, insane price or, you know, like you just hit the lottery again, Jeremy Grant. Like you guys know I don't think that. So me trying to be as objective as possible and unbiased, I actually think like if the Pistons could work a trade for Jeremy Grant, 7 and Eric Bledsoe, or 7 and the TPE or something like that, if they could work a trade, like I think that would be really even for both sides. I don't think that would be a bad trade for Portland. I know Portland fans disagree. But for me, I think that's an even trade. Portland gets the guy that they need to win now. I think in this year's draft, that's equal value for Jeremy Grant this year. And again, Portland's trying to win now. Dame wants Jeremy Grant on that team. And it sounds like that Portland is also going to be going after Miles Bridges, DeAndre Ayton. They're going to be aggressive in the free agency market. And they're still going to have plenty of cap space and plenty of wiggle room to try and make those kind of things happen. So if they want to try and make those kind of things happen, they can still get Jeremy Grant for, you know, Eric Bledsoe or like the TP or other matching salaries on the team. I feel like they could make that happen. And I feel like they would be happy with Jeremy Grant if they can also get some other guys in free agency. I think that trade would be actually pretty even. Now, obviously this is from a Piston side of the things. I'm trying to be unbiased and objective about it, but if you want me to be honest, I think that would be fair. I think Portland would be okay with that trade. I think they would be happy. I think the Pistons would be happy. It would be one of those trades. I believe both teams walk away feeling good. So, you know, that's my unbiased opinion. I don't think, again, I want to make sure that this is clear. In other drafts, I don't think Jeremy Grant's worth number 7. And then I would agree. Those of you guys watching on YouTube, sorry to pause this. My LED lights, I think, are about to fall right behind me. Like that just scared. That just, if you guys watched on YouTube, you guys will see. I completely stopped and turned around because these lights, like all of a sudden, I saw someone just like poof, light just start flicking right behind me. I'm like, what the heck just happened? All right, so if those fall behind me while you guys are watching, don't say nothing. We're just gonna act like that didn't happen. But anyways, what I was saying is that in any other draft, Jeremy Grant's probably not worth 7. But in this year's draft specifically, I think 7 is equal value for Jeremy Grant. But we'll see what happens. We'll see if that deal actually ends up getting done. The Kings, I know I said something about the Kings and the episode we had earlier in the week. I don't think the Kings are going to happen. I don't think the Pistons are going to move up to 4. I don't think any of the top 3 are going to fall to 4. If they did, I think then it could get interesting, but I don't see that happening. I think another team probably would outbid the Pistons at that point too. It also depends on how Troy Reaver feels about that top 3. If he actually is as high as I am on those top 3, we don't know. So either way, let me know what you guys think. Comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. When we come back, we'll recap some of the things we talked about this entire week, about some prospects that we talked about. Mathurin, we talked about Sharp, we talked about Keegan Murray, we talked about all kinds of prospects. We'll recap some of those things, and I'll give some of my, you know, maybe not, I shouldn't say final thoughts, but just some more thoughts on everything we talked about this week after you guys hear from some of our sponsors. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to our YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. I'd really appreciate it. Best way to support the podcast. Still on the road, the 3,000 subscribers continuing to show Locked On. We are the best and fastest growing fan base at the Locked On Network. So again, YouTube channel, Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. I'd really appreciate it. So, I want to thank you guys for showing out for us this week. Literally, if you guys haven't seen the numbers, go look on the YouTube channel and look at the views and the comments and the thumbs up. All you guys showed out this week for me, man. You guys really supported the channel. You guys really supported the podcast this past week. So, again, thank you guys. But I think it was because we had some really good content this past week. I'm not going to lie. I think I really did. I outdid myself this week, y'all. I think I did pretty good, man. I recorded three or four of those podcasts all on Sunday, Saturday or Sunday, and scheduled it out. You know, I was a busy man this weekend. You feel me? You know, we got some good content out. You feel me? But let's talk about some of the things that we covered in those episodes about some of these prospects. So as of right now, on May 26th, I'll say my takeaway, one of the, you know, let's do it like this. Who's a prospect that we talked about this past week that kind of, that my mind started to change or made me like, maybe I should rethink this one. There's one prospect that actually did do that for me this past week, talking with Ant Wright, talking with Bryce Simon, talking with Richard Stamen, Mavs Draft, talking with Lazarus Jackson. There's one prospect that has me rethinking where I have him and rethinking whether I should have him higher and actually would be, could he possibly rise to my number one? And that's Benedict Mathurin. Benedict Mathurin is rising up my, I guess, quote-unquote draft board, even though my draft board is only going to consist of like six players because I don't care anything that happens after the Pistons. So it's not going to consider, it's not going to have a bunch of players on it. But Benedict Mathurin, I'm not going to lie, is rising up my board a little bit. He's given me, in listen to Bryce, host of Pistons Pulse, who came on the podcast last week, talk about him. Listen to him talk about him definitely gave me a little, okay, well, if Bryce is really high on him, let me look into him a little bit more. And then listen to Ant Wright talk about these prospects. Then listen to Lazarus Jackson talk about these prospects. Then listening to Richard Stamen talk about them, and then following on Twitter and watching YouTube videos from scouting reports and reading up on these guys. Benedict Mathurin intrigues me because he's a guy, he's kind of like a guy I can see in my head. Like at first I was like, I don't know if I'm not really feeling it, but he's a guy I can see the future in my head. A guy who has explosive athleticism or control of some explosive athleticism around the basket and get to the basket like that. A guy who is a knockdown shooter, catch and shoot wise, and improved as a shooter off the bounce his last season at college, with decent size and decent strength at already coming into the NBA. He is a dude that I can already see. I can see the future in my head where he turns into, I don't know if I want to say Chris Middleton type, but I can see like that avenue for him. Like I can see like a dude who didn't really get the opportunity to do more in college. And maybe he would have struggled a little bit more in college, but a guy who has the raw talent ability to do more with the ball in his hands, create more of his shot, and try to do more with the ball in his hands. Remember, we talked about that. He tries passes. Like he's willing to pass the ball in college. We talked about with Bryce Simon. He's willing to pass the ball when he gets the ball in his hand. He just didn't do it a lot. He didn't get asked to do it a lot. So a lot of these other guys, I feel like like Keegan Murray, for example, I really don't believe in his ceiling. Like I know Ant Wright was really high on him. I gave him a chance to try to convince me, but I'm really, really not feeling Keegan Murray. Maybe it'll change by next month, but I'm not feeling it. I'm still on there with Shane Sharp. I think he's the pick for the Pistons. I really am a believer in him. And Jay and Ivy, I recognize the raw talent in the ceiling there and just his explosiveness. I get why he is liked by so many. But of all these other guys, like Jalen Duren, who is another guy who popped up my radar a little bit. We'll talk about him probably next week. AJ Griffin, not really. I know some people are liking Johnny Davis. He's not really hitting nothing. But again, Benedict Mathurin is the one dude where I can sit here and look at you guys in the camera and say, I can see this future where this dude turns into a guy. Like I can see it happening. He's the perfect type of dude, in my opinion. What it sounds like and what I've watched and the guys I've listened to and the things I've read, that he's a guy who he comes to the NBA with more spacing. He's given the ball and asked to do more, gets that kind of leash to do more on a rebuilding team like the Pistons, and all of a sudden starts showing that he can do more, and now he starts developing that more. And now you combine his catch and shooting, his explosive athleticism, along with his, you know, somewhat of a ready-made NBA body kind of thing, along with the potential to be a pretty good defender on that side of the ball. He's a guy I can just picture. I can see it, dude. I don't know if it's enough right now to convince me to go all the way on him for the Pistons to pick him over Sharp or Ivy, but they're starting to win me over. People, you Benedict Mathurin fans, you stands, the guys who have been tweeting at me these YouTube videos. Hey, watch the scouting report on him. Hey, read this scouting report. Do this, do that. You guys are doing a good job. He's the one prospect. I'll say it. I'll admit it. He's the one prospect that I really wasn't feeling, who now, as of May 26th, I'm starting to warm up to it. I can see the future where he turns into a legit dude. I can see it. So as of right now, I'll give you guys my board, and then we'll end the podcast. As of right now, I have it Sharp, Ivy, Mathurin, Murray. That's my board right there, with Duren rising a little bit and has the chance of taking over Murray at 4. And I get that Keegan Murray, listen, this will be the last thing I say, actually. Keegan Murray, I know, apparently the Pistons really like him. I don't care. I'm not feeling him. I'm not feeling him at all. It is what it is. You guys like him, that's fine if you guys do. But me, I have a few guys that I'd rather the Pistons take, but that's just me. But let me know in the comment section down below what you guys' big board is looking like right now. Are you guys getting sold on Benedict Mathurin like I am by these scouting reports and these videos and his fans, etc., telling you to watch this, watch that? Did you guys get sold on him by Bryce Simon, who's been doing all kinds of stuff, all kinds of scouting reports, film dives for Detroit Bad Boys and Pistons Pulse on Benedict Mathurin? Did he sell you guys in last week's episode? Again, let me know in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. Make sure you guys are making Lockdown NBA your second listen of every single day. From the first jump ball at the play-in tournament to the last position of the finals, Lockdown experts take you deep inside the playoffs with insight and analysis affecting all 30 teams. Again, I want to thank you guys for seriously showing out for us the past week, man. Let's continue to show out for the channel, continue to show out for this podcast, and continue to show Lockdown that we are the fastest and quickest and best growing fan base at this Lockdown Network. We are going to be taking over Lockdown soon, man. Continue to show out for us. Doing a great job. I'm going to continue to come out with some great content for you guys. Back to back to back to back. We going out here, man. This is going to be a fun off season. We got some more prospect videos coming for you guys next week. And actually, if there's a guest that I haven't had on, I know one of you guys said that you guys wanted me to get, you know, try to get a coach on here, one of the prospects. We'll see what we can do. But if there's another guest that I haven't gotten on the podcast this off season that you guys want to see on here, also let me know in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. But until next time, I'll see you guys later. Peace out, everybody. Enjoy the rest of these playoffs, and I'll see you then. Stay great, everybody.